This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
All right, Thursday's episode. You may not be able to see this. I have a hat on. I'm not shaved. That tells you I have pretty much mailed it in for the day. Jesse's got the gout back again. The King's disease. He's out.
Yep. No, I think this is one of those days where it's like...
It's a good day.
We know we're done with this week after today. And the week is kind of, you know, informing us that it's done with us.
Because we are sneaking away to the mountains. Cabin isolated for a couple days.
I'm excited.
Tomorrow morning. That's enough.
Can I walk while I'm there? Maybe not. Who knows? But who needs to walk?
Sure, bring scooter the scooter. Time. You're prepared.
Scooter
for
time.
Yep, that's why you have it. Good.
Exactly.
Let's just get into it. The faster we get into it, the faster we can, you know.
Banter out. Just
nope. Banter,
the facts,
personality, nothing.
42 minute episode. We're done.
Seems about 18 strong to me, quite frankly. But
yeah, okay.
Let's jump right into it. We'll have some nonsense. I'll be honest with you, I am not looking forward to the rest of the day. I did some breaking yesterday on the page. Facebook group, Geo Breaks. Eddie owns it, but he lets me break once in a while. Case was trash, and now I have 38 more packages to ship. Sorting and shipping stinks. I hate it.
I remember that used to be like the majority of your time, I felt like.
Oh, it used to be 300 packages every other day. Yeah, now it's 38 once a month that I'm complaining. So.
And you still hate it.
Big.
No. What? Big picture.
What were you going to say?
I wasn't going to say anything. NFL, big hobby games. How it's going to affect this coming week's playoff or NFL fantasy league, whatever, card values. What do we do?
There you go.
What are we doing?
It's a show about sports cards. I put the abbreviations in the notes here. I'm going to have you interpret these for me. So give me the first game on the top left.
Here's the thing. I'm seeing them. I know three.
Give me the first one. Say it out loud. Go ahead.
Houston at Cleveland.
Do you know the team names for those two? The Houston
Texans, Cleveland Browns. Oh my goodness. I was impressed with myself as I said it. It's just
I've heard before your co-host doesn't know anything about sports. People who say that, dead wrong.
Lies.
This guy here, big sports fan.
You guys are mean.
Houston Texans, interesting game to me for both. The Texans, I'm curious if Tyrod keeps rolling. If he does, you've been graced with another week to move his stuff before it inevitably falls off the table. Not that it's that high up on the mountain
now. Not
that
you even had it because there was no pop count on any of it.
Yeah. What's interesting here to me, though, was Baker. A couple weeks ago, Baker was like on card ladder on their player index, like the hottest selling quarterback. His growth was ridiculous. Of course, he's out of the 2018 draft class. Baker played good. You know, he had such a horrible ending against KC last week.
He played good or did he play well? I was just kidding. I didn't.
Yeah.
It's you know, go ahead.
He
no,
go ahead. Played Gell. G-E-L-L. That's how he played.
Superman does good. He did well.
That's fair. Clark Kent? No. The band, you just can't hold it down. Riveting stuff. I think Baker's going to have a huge game. I mean, Trevor Lawrence had a big game against them last week. I mean, stats-wise, he didn't look great. I think Baker's going to light up Houston. So I like Baker here. I think Baker we saw a little bit of a lull after Kansas City, which is weird. He's at Kansas City. They're not supposed to win that game. The fact that it was a one-possession game at the end to me, now granted, they blew it in the second half. I like Baker stuff going forward. I think that's an interesting game to keep an eye on. I am kind of excited to see if we're going to see a consistent top 10 type guy all season. If so, cool. So Baker, it to me, is still kind of a hold. I think you got to see how high his stuff's going to get before we move out of there. And I don't think that division's all that great either. So
it is interesting how much of a spike Baker had on his base in 2018.
It's crazy. Prism.
Like, right. But it spiked hard, but then
leading up to the season.
Yes, but it immediately fell right back in line because it was like 350s, but then spiked up to 450.
Yep. And then after the loss, right back down.
Yep.
Yeah, because, I mean, game. But that's what I mean. Yes, they should have won the game. They had a very good chance to win the game. You're at Kansas City. To be honest, you're not supposed to beat Mahomes at home. And they didn't. They were very competitive, interesting team. But I think they blow out Houston, and Baker has a monster game, which would help his pricing. So if you're in Baker short term, I think I don't know that it's the worst time to sell. This is the first time I think we're going to see a little bit more immediate spikes and dips in football than before. Maybe not necessarily based off one game, but I think 2 to 3 games in a row, good or bad, we're going to see pricing affected. So that was one that stood out to me.
Okay.
What's that second one? People want to know.
This one's New England at New York Jets.
This guy is on
I love sports. Fire. Oh, sports. Give him to me. Slam dunk it.
Who are the quarterbacks of these two teams?
Stop it. Not Cam Newton. It's Mike. Man. Mike. I want to say Mike Evans. Yep.
Yep. And, Mike Evans. He's left Tampa Bay. Oh, receiver. God, he's now going to be a quarterback in New England. Oh. Mac Jones.
There it is. Yeah.
And Zach. Anything?
Zach Morris.
Morris, yep. He is 46, straight out of Bayside High School. Didn't play college ball, although he did have some he had a couple weird seasons where he worked at a restaurant on the beach. Listen, that nobody could figure out.
That's fine. Have a Zach Morris card, okay? So Zach. I don't want
to. Do you pay attention to the show at all? Zach Wilson.
I did know.
Have you ever seen the show?
I know that there's a Zach Wilson out there. I just didn't think it was that team. Yeah.
Zach Wilson played at Cleveland, at Carolina last week. Looked okay at times. But obviously, these are two of the big five quarterbacks. Mac looked good. I think they're going to go in. You know, I've really, my initial like super positive spin was Mac Jones goes 3-0, build up for the Brady game. I sell my RPA that I bought. They lost last week. However, he looked good against the Dolphins. His pricing still stayed strong. If he comes out and gets his first win and looks good again, and that Jets defense is not great, he should have a good game. I think we're going to see these quarterbacks both put up decent numbers, but especially Mac. I think Mac can really light up that New York Jets defense. I don't know that this is a great game for Zach Wilson. New England's got a pretty good defense. I don't love them in that game. So, but I mean, again, this is kind of one of those just wait and see. There's going to be hype around it. Two of the top five QBs in the game, rookie QBs in the game. I think there's going to be some hype. So I am interested to see what Mac does, because I'm not dead set on it has to be week 4 to sell Mac Jones. Like, if he spikes after this one, my price on my certified RPA is like 700 to 800. If I see those prices, I'm out. What are you? Your face is just beaming with confidence. What's going on over there? What's in your head? Looking up Zach Moore? Is AC Slater there?
AC is not.
Where's Lisa Turtle these days?
Screech is. No, RIP. Never mind. Screech isn't there.
Is he?
Yeah. Did you not?
Oh, I forgot.
Guys, let's go ahead and stop the card show and let's talk about this for a second. Screech.
Dustin Diamond. I forgot about that. You know what? I'm curious how many Ring of Podcasts are talking about Dustin Diamond today. So,
that's a fair question.
You know what,
question.
Bill Simmons? You wanted some diversity of content? There you go. We're talking Zach Morris and Dustin. Bill's like, yeah, you're not following. You're not talking.
Did he text you about diversity of content?
No. He's not received a text back from when I asked him to come on the show.
So again, that's so. Where the...
Okay. Our Instagram messenger is blowing up. I have to turn my phone off. I apologize. Yes.
Thank you.
I love when people on Instagram, by the way, just send a million pictures of a card. No mention of anything. Just a bunch of pictures. I'm going to just send back 10 pictures of Brady and Griffey. Just run around. All right, go ahead.
So you back to the thing. So I was just looking. Mac Jones and Zach Wilson, they do have cards now on Card Letter, which is great.
Okay. What do you got?
Yeah. So they just added some. They've got their Donruss cards on there, 2021, of course. They both have seen significant drops in value. However, do you have an idea for which one is going for more right now?
Mac Jones,
but it's much closer than I actually would have thought. So they have dropped. They were like 45 or so as of like a week ago. And now they've dropped down to Mac Jones is down to 36. Zach is down to 20. So pretty significant drops, like legit over 50% for Zach Wilson. So it makes me think, as far as what the hobby is predicting, they're probably more in favor of Mac Jones and Zach Wilson, which falls in line with what you were saying.
Yeah.
What are you doing on your
phone? I'm sorry, we're getting tagged. People are looking for the link for the website because they're trying to sign up for Card Ladder and save 15%. I literally just got tagged. I shouldn't be paying attention to the phone. I'm sorry, I am.
Thank you.
I actually think we're going to see more drop from that, though. Donruss base, $15 to $20 cards to me. The fact that the first... I'm always curious who's buying the first couple of those two for $100. That's insane to me. All right, next game.
I've got this. Next game, San Francisco 49ers.
I thought this was going to go way differently, honestly.
You thought I was going to get all of them wrong?
I thought you would know half of these.
Well, here's the thing.
Did you look them up?
No. Dude, I know about sports. Did I know the quarterbacks?
Sorry.
Did I know the quarterbacks? Maybe not.
Guy just told me Zach Morris is starting a game in the NFL, but I'm sorry for selling you short on your knowledge.
You haven't seen this week's lineup. You don't know that for sure.
What is he doing these days? Where is
49ers?
What is his name in real life? My goodness.
Babe, what's Zach Morris's name in real life?
Mark Paul Gosselaar.
Mark Paul Gosselaar is what she said.
There you go. He had a nice little stint on NYPD Blue. After that, nothing. Yeah. I don't remember him anywhere. So.
He's so handsome, though. He's got that going for him.
Of course.
Withstood the test of time.
What's the game we're talking about here?
San Francisco at Philly.
Yeah. So I'm curious for a couple things here. First, does Trey Lance see the field more than he did last week? Came in for the quick touchdown pass. That was about it. Does Jimmy G stay healthy? I literally just watch every game with San Francisco waiting for him to get hurt. And the minute that happens, I think you'll have a very brief window. Buy up all the Trey Lance you can. I think you can do well with it. Quite frankly, you could probably do that anyways, because I just think it's going to happen. Either he gets hurt, he plays very mediocre. I don't think we see him all season. The flip side of that, though, I'm super interested in Jalen Hurts. San Francisco is a very good defense. Does Jalen Hurts look as good as he does last week? If he does, I think he's another guy almost like Tua. I don't think it's a week-to-week thing. I think you have to say, okay, I'm going to hold this guy for a while and see what he does, especially if they win the game, which they're at home against Frisco. The line was pretty close. If Jalen Hurts comes out 2-0 and looks really good, I think there's a chance here you just hold him for a few weeks and kind of assess midseason. And even then, hey, if it's like, you know, they're leading the NFC East by a couple games, looks like they're a lock for the playoffs. I don't know that you sell him too soon. I like what I saw from Jalen. We were high on him before the season. He looked good last week. Devontae Smith is the other guy, the rookie wide receiver. His speed is ridiculous. I don't know if he's going to be a legit 8 to 10 catch threat per game, but he almost has like that DeSean Jackson feel to me. Like he's going to make some ridiculous plays. Again, I see those gouty legs churning over there. Is that a term? Gouty leg? What is
that? This is a real condition, okay? You're going to get blown up on social media.
I am. You know what's another thing? By the way,
here it comes.
We've got a few... People, we joke about everything. Jesse's dad had a heart attack. We laughed about it the next day. Trust me, my old man is going to, he listens to the show every week. He's going to be,
don't say anything about he's Papa Gio.
Papa Gio is going to be dropping dead one of these days.
Well, he's listening to this.
And guess what? We're going to joke about, that's how we talk. It's not meant to be.
How we get past it.
I think people get a little bit sensitive.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you guys, there is an episode of Home Improvement. Go back and watch it. They talk about this a lot. This is how they deal with their emotions. It's the same for us today.
I don't have a lot of patience for come on. Like, anyways, okay, go ahead. You were saying, though.
something about gouty legs. Oh, also, Jalen Hurts. So, I don't know if we talked about this on last episode. So, he had a real nice spike, but he, unlike a few others, has not come back down yet. So, as of last Saturday, he was going for... $200. It spiked up to 278.
What card? I'm sorry.
So this is 2020 Prism. 2020 Prism PSA 10 is what we're looking at. But it stayed up at like, it's still at 271 right now. A lot of guys fell back down after that brief spike from last week. He did not. So I think there's a little love for in the hobby. They think that Jalen may have some potential here.
I like Jalen. And again, I think Devontae Smith originally was the third for sure. Jamar Chase, Jalen Waddle, then Devontae Smith. I think that's going to be the best of those three teams. And I think he's going to have the biggest season of those three receivers. I like Devontae Smith. He sells well already, but I think there's some upside there because I think he's just going to be a crazy big playmaker. However, this is kind of a test. It's a good defense in Frisco. You know, home game in Philly, but San Francisco has a good defense. I'm curious what these guys do. Dude, it's amazing. By the way, my wife is still coughing like you are. Thank God. I wish I had a mute button for her.
Every episode, I love that we talk about the coughing.
Well, you two cough. You've been coughing for 3 weeks.
Hey, you're about to live with it 3 days for the next 3 days. Enjoy.
We'll see who lives there. All right, next.
Next up, New Orleans v. Nope. Carolina.
Not V.
Sorry. Yeah, well, you know what I mean. They're still playing versus. Yeah. But yeah, at Carolina, Trevor Lawrence.
If that were to say verse Carolina, that'd mean it'd be at New Orleans.
No. He's Jacksonville. Oh, man, I was trying to think of the quarterback.
There's no way you know the quarterback of Carolina.
Yeah, I don't.
You should
don't
know the quarterback of New Orleans, though. Had the best week last week of anybody.
Drew Brees?
He makes cookies. Famous.
Amos?
Rhymes with famous Jameis. Come on, dude.
Famous Jameis. Oh, man.
Do you know Jameis' last name?
What happened to Winston? Yeah, I know.
Jameis Winston. Carolina is the QB we bought on Starstock. Does that help you at all? You know what? Let's just do a whole show of just veiled trivia by me. That's entertaining. Sam Darnold.
I'm sorry.
And there he keep goes going. Again. Yep.
Keep going.
Hey, sweetheart, I'll take it from here. You hit the button. Good grief. Yeah, so I'm interested. Carolina is not a great defense, obviously. But there's no chance in the world Jameis puts up 5 or 6 touchdowns. I want to know if Jameis comes back down to earth this week. Road game. Does he go back to his normal couple interceptions? Or does he look fantastic? This one for sure, though, if for some reason you are not, now if you're holding because you just like him, again, the collector side, don't ever sell, no problem. But if you have bought Jameis to sell him, again, I would sell him before the game. I don't think there is any reason to hold Winston. I just don't think he's going to sustain this anywhere near this type of trajectory. Carolina, though, I do like. New Orleans defense is not the same on the road. So I'm interested to see what Sam Darnold and Christian McCaffrey do. They had a little bit of rhythm the first week. That's kind of why we bought into Sam Darnold in the offseason. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but I think he's good. I think he has some potential, and I think that's an explosive offense. So I like Darnold. He's out of that 2018 draft class as well. And his contenders autos are still not that expensive, a couple hundred bucks. However, starting in 2018, I'm not going heavy with base. Like Prism base, I would go with I like autographs. You can still get his patch autos, a lot of them for under $200 for nice products.
What if it's low pop count, though?
Well, that's different, but a lot of his big time base is not low pop count.
Well, I say that just because, like, I'm looking at the Jameis Winston.
I'm not talking about Jameis. Yeah, Jameis stuff, you can buy anything. His pop is super low from 2015. We're talking about Sam Darnold.
Yeah. I just meant, like, in that instance, it was a low pop count, so people would go, obviously, you would still pick that up, but you're saying even if it's a low pop count of someone not as, you know, recognized as Jameis Winston is, you know, upside potential, you would still consider base if it's low?
I don't know what is happening. Yeah, I guess yes. If you're asking me, yeah, I mean, Jameis Winston was from 2015. Pop counts are a fraction of the size of 2018, 19, 20. So yeah, would I buy Jameis base stuff because it's a low pop?
Or anybody, basically, if they are low pop, even if it's base.
Yeah, we'll get into that, too, because that's come up in basketball lately. Like, hey, Zion and Ja and Luka have 20,000 population. Devin Booker and Joker and some other guys who are good buys do not have that kind of pop. For the same card, Prism-based PSA 10. So, yes. But in this instance, Sam Darnold, patch autos I'm sticking with, and gem mint non-base rookies, because 2018, I don't want to mess with base. But I like Darnold, and I think he'll be exciting all season. Next game.
Next and last game, Detroit at Green Bay.
The only reason I even mention this game, I think Aaron Rodgers is going to come out and have 11 touchdowns.
Oh, boy.
And 990 yards.
How much is this influenced by the fact that he's your QB on your fantasy team?
Oh, I forgot about that. I got Brady in one league and that donkey in another. I don't like Aaron Rodgers, so it's not really an influence there.
You've always said that Aaron does well up until playoff time.
Oh, yeah. I would argue he's as good as any regular season quarterback of all time. He had a bad week, a horrendous week one. The Lions are a terrible defense. I think Rodgers is going to put up 35-plus points. He's going to have this bounce back, and we're going to look back and be like, oh, yeah, it's great. Week one was an anomaly. I mean, after week one, it was like, this guy's checked out. He's trying to tank so he can be traded. He's marching the Jeopardy job. He wants to go
work at Jeopardy. Oh, yeah, I mean, got to it first.
We did, man. Great minds. I'm sure that's what a lot of people are thinking. You know, it's laughable. This guy is going to – I still think this guy's a top three MVP finalist by the end of the season. I think he has a monster game. I'm gonna predict 350-plus yards, 4 touchdowns, no picks.
Gee.
Mark it down. Do you have a pen?
I don't. What's
– Ronick, mark that down. Ronick has a pen. 350-plus, 4 TDs, no picks. They win by 20. That's it. Those are some games I'm interested in. The Bucks. I don't even know who the Bucks are playing, but it doesn't matter. Brady's going 20-0. 20-0. 17-game season. Yep, it's going to be good.
Okay, great. That's good because I have a lot of Bucks on my team. What do you think the Titans are going to do?
Titans have a tough game. Who are they playing?
That's why I'm asking you. Why weren't they on this list?
Oh, because I don't care about the Titans. Yeah.
Well, you should.
I mean, card value. I don't think anybody's moving too much on there.
Titans are playing.
You care so much, you don't have any idea who they're playing. Great.
Or no. They're playing Seahawks this weekend.
In Seattle?
This is at Seattle, yeah.
Ooh, that's not good. I think Derrick Henry will have a big game.
You think?
I think they're going to get beaten by double digits.
I took Julio out of my lineup. Yeah, okay, I've got a question for you. Do you think this was a good call? I took Julio out of my lineup and I put in David Montgomery. Yeah, from the Bears.
I scored 68 points last week, so I'm going to go to limited. That's not a joke, by the way. I have Saquon Barkley, Davante Adams, Aaron Rodgers, Ronald Jones was negative. You are going to want to find anybody else alive to ask that question, and they will give you better insight than me.
That was one of my flex players. Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Mike, for your insight. next segment.
Change sports. Let's go.
Let's go over to the NBA.
Okay. Oh, this is Indy's. Indy did some work here for us.
Indy helped us out. He gave us the NBA comeback players, the guys who were injured, who were expecting to see this season. Maybe not at the first, but they'll come back some point this year.
So Indy, as I understand this correctly, Indy kind of gave us some breakdown of the injury, when it happened, expected return, and you've got the card values that correlate to that. Is that the play here?
Yep. Okay. And we're going to do four players. I've got Jamal Murray, Klay Thompson, Jaylen Brown, and DeAndre Hunter.
Let's start with DeAndre Hunter because he's the most insignificant to me.
Okay. So DeAndre Hunter is, I mean, here's the thing. Not a lot going on with his card values. So his main card, the 2019 Prism, it's a base card, I know. But that's what most are considering as his rookie. It really hasn't done a whole lot.
What did it do 6 months ago, though? Because he started off hot.
He got injured. This is June 9th of this year, 2021.
About a month into the season, right?
Yep. And right at that same time, his card value was doing not very much. I mean, like $65 or something like that.
Okay.
It dropped down to 50 and it came back up to $65. And since then, it kind of has bounced between $40 and $60. And right now it's sitting at $40. So not a whole lot going on with him. I don't know if he's getting a lot of hobby love. I don't know if people are really expecting much.
Yeah, he's not getting a lot of. Here's when's his expected return? Does he have that stuff in there, too? Because that is important to note. I want to say he's starting the season with them. He almost came back in the playoffs, didn't he?
Yeah, so the recovery time is like 6 to 8 weeks. He's supposed to come back start of season. Okay. Supposedly.
Yeah, I mean, so here's what's interesting about him. He came out and played really well, averaged like, I think he was close to 20 for the first few weeks. Like, he was really good. Mm-hmm. And that's at a time when Trey was not the Trey at the end of the season. John Collins wasn't. I mean, this wasn't an Eastern Conference finalist team. Like, the Hawks, if they play like that, and then Hunter is like a guy coming off the bench with explosion to score, I think that's, I think he's an interesting guy to keep an eye on. I want to know what his role is when he comes back. But it's kind of a low risk guy.
Would you say normally when guys come back after being out for like a significant amount of time, like it's more of like a slow and steady work their way up, like to, you know, full performance? Or is it more of like a, I'm ready to get back on the court, I'm going to dominate, I'm going to show everybody, you know, why I have value type of
thing? I mean, a lot of it depends. Like he was a role player anyways. I mean, he was in the starting lineup some, but he wasn't like, if Trae Young gets hurt and comes back, when he's back, he's out there. He's playing 40 minutes, you know?
Okay.
That's why I'm just not sure how much he's going to play. I think if he's healthy, he's going to play quite a bit and be good. But it's also harder for guys like that to reestablish value. When a star comes back, there's a ton of hype and buildup. There has, like you said, there's been very little hype with him. But I like him as kind of a cheap option.
Well, so bottom line, do you think it's like a time, like maybe a value? Because, I mean, this is like pretty much all-time lows.
I'm not buying the base, though. I told you the same thing. Anything but base with guys from, because he was a rookie last year, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah, I'm not buying.
Yeah, 2019. So
2 years. He was a Zion. Yeah. Year. Yeah, I'm not buying Prism base from that year. Anything above Prism base, I'm good with. Anything from like Optic above base.
He does have a 2019 Prism Silver out there.
What's that doing? 150?
PSA 10 is doing 250.
Pretty good market.
Which is funny. That one actually just a week ago had a bump up. It was doing 200 for a long time and then just bumped up a little bit to 250. So you think that one might be
I would start with that. I think that's interesting for one of the better teams in the East. I think that's an interesting card. Yeah. And I just like DeAndre because he's a cheaper stock than the other guys we're going to talk about.
And it was doing, like, you know, when the spike happened earlier in the year, it was doing a little over five. So. Yeah,
that's what I mean. Now, Grant, and those I don't think are going to take as much of a beating as base. Like, base are never going to get back up to what they were, but silvers and above, I think so. So I like DeAndre Hunter for that reason. Let me see. Let's go to Jaylen Brown next.
Jaylen Brown. So he got hurt back in May of this year, 2021, ruptured Achilles. And they were saying about 8 to 12 months. It's usually what, like close to a year for an Achilles injury, savage, right?
Talking about Papagio. Papagio ruptured his Achilles tendon when I was a kid. Brutal injury.
Ooh.
Yeah, I didn't realize that's what it. I didn't realize that's what it was. I thought it was just a bad strain. Okay.
Yeah. So they're saying around end of the year, around Christmas time or so, for his comeback.
So he's going to miss the first couple months.
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. Okay. So again, that injury happened May 13th. Right.
And he was having a great season too. By the way, when it happened, made the All Star team this year, I believe.
Oh, okay, nice.
I'm pretty sure. Ronick, didn't Jaylen make the All Star team this year?
I'm pretty sure he did.
Where's Bill? Sure. Bill would know this. Did Bill want to come on today? Did you tell him no?
I didn't. I would never tell him no. No.
Okay.
You should, Ronick. Oh, by the way, guys, Ronick won't let me post his picture online. I mean, really, don't you guys all want to see it? I just wanted to let everyone know who the team is. And he thinks he's not part of the team. He's part of the team.
He's not comfortable with his picture. Move on. Jaylen Brown.
Everybody just post about how much you love Ronick. That's all I want to know. All right. Jaylen Brown on May 13th. So his cards were doing about $300 right after the injury. You saw it drop to 200. And then they've kind of fluctuated.
Prism PSA 10?
Yeah, I'm sorry. PSA 10, 2016 Prism.
Okay. Did you see pretty familiar stuff across the board? A pretty good drop?
So this had a pretty good drop. And this has like a decent pop count, 750 cards.
Oh, that's low.
I mean, as far as like some of the other ones that I found. So the other cards that I pulled was like a 2016 Optic Hollow and then a 2016 Select Silver. Mm-hmm. Those both have like about around 150 pop count.
Yeah, each. 2016, I mean, just 2 years before the 2018 class, way different landscape in terms of population of any of this stuff.
There wasn't much of anything.
That's why when you get to guys like Jaylen, Jamal Murray, who's the other guy? Klay Thompson. I don't mind their base. I'm all in on because the base then is just totally different than the numbers we see now. But if he's not coming back till the end of the year, end of the calendar year, not the season, I wouldn't rush to get him.
Oh,
like if
really?
The Celtics are playing really well, you know, come, you know, beginning of December and he's a month out, it looks like he's going to be on schedule. Then I'd take a shot on him. But I don't know that there's any reason to buy him in September.
I honestly think there could be more downside for him just based on, I think so too. Pricing right now. Cause he did start coming up, like, so he kind of bottomed out around 200. Then in August, he started going back up about 250. But he's had multiple sales now that are just on a downward decline. So,
And especially, here's the other thing you got to keep in mind for the hobby. When you're playing a team with a top 10-ish type guy, top 15, like Jason Tatum, if Tatum comes out playing unbelievable, there's going to be so much attention there. You're going to see even more of a drop just because guys are not spending. They're spending with Tatum instead of Jaylen. So I would hold off and kind of see. That's one we'll kind of monitor.
Okay. So Klay Thompson is the next one. I find this one the most interesting. So Indy had on here that his injury was like May of 2020, but I think more to the point is he has not played for the last two seasons, as you probably already know. He was injured in the finals of the 2019 Warriors Raptors game. And he has not come back. He has not played an actual NBA game since that time.
Because we had the shortened COVID season, so he didn't play then at all.
Yeah, he had a left ACL tear back then, and then he had a right Achilles tear in like November of last year. So like right when he was getting ready to come back, he has that, and it happens in like a pickup game or something like that. So
that's all crazy. I didn't realize that he hasn't played a game since the man. Okay. Yeah.
And what's really weird about it though is like his card values, like they have spiked and come down and spiked several times as if like he was playing. So so let's say, you know, we said what? It was May of 2019 on his first injury. His card was doing about $75 or so.
What card?
I'm sorry. Yeah. This is the 2012 Prism base card. And again, this, like, there's very little as far as like anything that had relative pop count. So I had to do the base.
Yeah, 2012, first year of Prism 2. I mean, that's a crazy expensive product. Does he have, is there any other 2012 products of his on there by chance?
There was a Prism Silver.
That's got to be huge money.
But it has like, there's like 50.
100? Yeah, 50. Okay.
Yeah. It's doing, yeah, like right now, that one's averaging about $4,000 in price. But the thing about Klay Thompson's pricing is it's odd that he has gone up so much, even though he wasn't playing, because he went from being $70 around the time that he got injured, where he has gone nowhere but up, including like August of last year, he hit $1,600. And this was like before, like this was getting, again, close to the time where he would start coming back from his injury. So there, it does make a little bit of sense. But then he got injured. He fell all the way down to $580.
And what card is this?
This is his 2012 Prism.
Just base?
Card, yeah.
PSA 10.
PSA 10.
Okay.
Yeah. And then
you kept saying 70. That card was never $70, was it?
Yeah. I mean, back in
pre-COVID, that was $70?
$70, yeah.
Holy crap. What's it trading at right now?
At this moment, that card is trading at almost $900.
And the low was in the fives.
He got down to into the fives. But it is interesting just how much he has fluctuated and how much his value has stayed up, given that he hasn't played in 2 years. Granted, I know he's like some phenom and everybody's very impressed with his play.
And that's the difference. Yeah, like Jaylen Brown's had a couple of good years. It is what it is. DeAndre Hunter obviously is kind of a nobody in this grand scheme of things. Klay Thompson's a first ballot Hall of Famer if he never steps on the court again. One of the best shooters of all time, multiple ring. I mean, great, great player. So that makes sense that it's stable. I guess my play here would be just wait and see then. It seems like he's kind of high now anyways. When is he coming back? Does he have an expected return?
So he is supposed to be coming back later this year, probably around Christmas time as well, I believe.
So he's going to miss multiple months of the season also.
Yes. Yep.
Here's what's weird, though. That team made the play-in round anyways. Curry still showed he could play out of his mind to be MVP-like, but his pricing is ridiculous. You still have Draymond, who played well. Wiseman's going to be back healthy. I mean, Andrew Wiggins maybe gives you something. They also had a high pick, who I cannot remember for the life of me. If you had Klay Thompson back to that team, like, it gets interesting. I don't know. I like Klay. The other thing I like about him is he is like a cemented, you know, great player already. So I don't think you're going to get hurt. But I would kind of wait and see if there's a better buying opportunity. But that is something to keep in mind. From 2012, you know, again, you're telling me you're terrified of 2019 base cards. I don't blame you. Crazy overproduced. Populations are high. You don't see it long term. Fine. Like 2012, though, you're not going to find a high pop on any of those guys. Even Jaylen in 2016, there's not high pops. So you got to be careful of not having that mindset, especially NBA, of like base cards are the devil. It's true, but when you get past the last 3 or 4 years, it's a totally different ballgame. So I like Klay Thompson, but yeah, I would hold off and just kind of see what that team looks like and what's his return look like too.
Jamal Murray was the last one. He got injured back in April of this year.
Towards ACL, right?
ACL, yep. Yeah.
That was my team out west, man. I love, if he's healthy, I think that team comes out of the west.
Yeah. Well, he's expected back November to early 2022. His card value is actually the one that I would have expected everybody's card value to decline right after their injury, come back up as they, you know, start coming back. His is the only one who didn't really do that as much. So he, like I said, he got injured in April.
2016 rookie, by the way?
2016.
So yep. He's with Jaylen, Ben Simmons, that class. Okay.
And I pulled up a few cards. His 2016 Prism base, his Prism Mosaic, and his Optic, all PSA 10s. They all have, you know, you see some of these where sometimes it's like one will fluctuate much differently just because like it's lower pop count or like, you know, it's an auto or whatever the case may be. All three of these have stayed pretty much in lockstep as far as, you know, when one goes up, they all go up. When one goes down, they all do. So at this point, he did spike out. If we're looking at his Prism base, which is the highest value of them, it was about in April, he was looking around $400, $450. And it has gone nowhere but down ever since then. He's about $200, so less than half.
So is he about 50% off all his stuff that you're seeing right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the most interesting play to me. Then he's coming back before most of the other guys. I'm very high on Denver. Like, I just think him, Joker, MPJ is the number three. I like even Aaron Gordon on most teams. I would hate that. But on that team, he's like a third, fourth option.
Okay.
I like Jamal Murray and he's 2016. So the base numbers are not crazy high. So yeah, and that's what I'll start doing. I'm going to start buying some Jamal Murray 20. The only hold up for me a little bit now that I say that though, is Jamal Murray has been known to be a good regular season player. But the last couple of years we've seen in the playoffs, the guy goes absolutely nuts. So that's the only thing. I think he's almost more of a long-term get in short, you know, get in for cheap. Mm-hmm. But then if you can hold him to the playoffs, I just think he just goes next level. He's weird like that. So, but I do like him. So, and yeah, Klay Thompson, let's monitor the pricing and see.
Okay.
There you go.
What are we going to? Oh, I don't actually know what we're talking about here, but okay. I love this segment, the title, Base is the Devil.
That was it. It's just the point I mentioned there, just real brief. Because, and I've told Jesse, and we're trying to do this, although today wasn't a great example, on a lot of the stuff we're trying to show comps on, especially new stuff, base is not the best indicator because base is down across the board right now. And it has been for the past few months because people started to realize, hey, Luka is $2,000 for a Prism PSA 10. There's 20,000 of these cards out here. Like, this is ridiculous. And so what? It's fallen. It's $800 now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Zion, Ja, all these guys from the past few years, Trae Young. There's just so the pop is so crazy high that regardless of player performance, some of the base still continue to drop. Like that was a great example with Ja and Trae Young. We saw him keep dropping. Even Trae Young didn't have a massive spike in the playoffs on base stuff, but his higher end stuff was really climbing because it's more exclusive, harder to find. So you have to be aware of this. The past couple of years, 2018 forward, I would be a little cautious. Like DeAndre Hunter's a $40 Prism card. I'm buying that card for $40. If he spikes, it hits $100. But I am not real big on base, just overproduced mass base, unless it is cheap, if it's from 2018 and newer. But the point today was on some of these other guys, Jaylen Brown, PSA 10, totally different ballgame. The population's under 1,000. You know, Jamal Murray stuff, super low pop. So I would almost say pre-2018 base is a totally different animal and category than 2018 to current base. Just something for people to keep in mind when they have this mindset, because I feel like people overreacted. You know, Joker's Prism 10 PSA 10 Prisms are like $600 now. They had hit 1,500. Oh, but base is horrible. There's 1,500 of it. The dude's in his early 20s and he's an MVP on a great team. His card should be worth more than $600. So I'm just saying there is a little bit more to the narrative there than just all base is bad.
And since we've been getting so many messages from new guys recently, like, which is great. Like, I love seeing all these, like,
I hate messages.
Just started listening. Guys are saying just started listening to the show, sure, or just getting back into it. To a little caveat to Mike's point there is don't go and assume just because you see low pop counts and newer guys that they are low pop counts, because like we've mentioned several times in the past, everything is stuck at, you know, BGS or PSA.
Yep.
And so you're probably going to see a flood of that start coming back. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah. And not a crazy flood, but you're going to see consistent growth, I think is a better term.
Okay. Well, yeah. I like flood, but whatever.
Yeah, you're wrong. That's fine. Right. Move along, Noah. See what I did there? Bam. Hey, wow. I put up a poll really today good on Twitter and Facebook. I'm curious if you caught it. We had done this before. Like, what sport are you currently buying the most of? And before it had gone, it was very specific. Baseball, football, baseball, basketball, football.
Yes.
Yeah, today, I think we got much different results. Many different results.
Very interesting to see how baseball had dropped significantly from that other poll. So poll results came out to be football being number one with 300 votes, basketball with 230, and then baseball with 170. And then you got your soccer and F1 after that.
Then we had a few hundred votes on Twitter, kind of the same thing, right?
Yeah, I believe it was just about the same.
Football, basketball, baseball. Yeah, we put up the poll a couple hours ago, but we did get like, I think it was like 1,500 total votes across both. Not that it was huge, but for a few hours, I was happy. It's weird to me that people are still, like, I thought the football spend was going to calm down. It was more, hey, like 2 months ago, we had the poll. Football, I understood because people are going to start loading up. It, like in hopes of what would happen. But now that the season's here, I'm actually happy to see football staying strong like it is. I think that's a good indicator for the market. We also put on there, one of the options was still not buying, scared of the dip. Almost no votes, which I did
There was more on Twitter, but okay. There was almost, I don't know if there was a single one on Facebook. Yeah. Nobody, which granted, the Facebook audience is a little biased because right. This it's is a card trading group. Yep. But on Twitter, it was still relatively low. 15% or actually less than 15% said still scared. So,
which is a good sign in general. And I'm not thinking we're going to see a you know, 5-10x jump across the board anywhere. I hope we don't, because you see what happens when that does happen. But it's interesting to me. People are buying football this heavy. Basketball, I'll tell you right now, basketball, and I'm supposed to save this for the newsletter, so I will. We're trying to keep some content like exclusive to the newsletter, tease it here. I don't really know. But I've been buying basketball. I made two big deals this week in basketball. I was pretty excited about. Some are pretty player specific as well. I just think now's the time to start loading up before the season. But it what's weird to me is baseball. With the playoffs around the corner, the fact that baseball has dropped off so hard, that is kind of strange to me.
It is interesting to also point out, Gary V commented on the post saying basketball was his.
He was the first to comment on the post, by the way.
Not a big deal. We don't like to.
I'd like to get Gary back on. I am curious about his thoughts on the state of the market, kind of where he went the past few months. But now he's back talking. I'm curious what his, you know, what his thinking is. So,
all right, Gary.
There you go. Hey, one quick baseball note. This is the only thing I had. Wander Franco is still on a tear. The Rays are, you could argue, are the best team in the AL right now. That's a weird guy to keep your eye on, man. Wander and Vlad and Bo Bichette. Bo Bichette is like batting like almost 300, 25 home runs, 95 RBI for like his first full season, getting no attention. That guy's a star. That Toronto team, I know I'm still going to argue and people are going to get upset that I think Vlad is a shot to win MVP. Oh, boy.
Here we go.
But Bo Bichette's having an unbelievable year. You don't hear anything about it. I think there's going to be one or two really weird spikes in the playoffs. I think Randy Arozarena, whatever his name is, he did it last year. He might get hot in the playoffs again. Those are the two teams I think we're going to see some crazy spikes from people, like Rays and Jays.
Okay. Rays and Jays. I Rays like that. All right. So you want to go straight facts, homie?
Do I want to? What do you think I'm here for?
Do you need to?
I haven't stuck around this long for that, for anything else, I mean.
Straight facts, homie. This week, guys, interesting stuff came out of the industry summit out in Las Vegas. A couple points to bring out from that. First off, being Beckett is still just admitting openly that they're just completely covered up with card grading. Awesome. Like literally just said, if no more cards came in to be graded, we'd have enough grading work for another year. So you know, it's kind of hard to say like what's going on, like why they haven't hired more people. I guess maybe I know they've been trying to, but still, that's to know that there could be another year. There's guys they said too. They've got guys waiting 16 months. They still haven't gotten their stuff graded. So, yeah, I don't know what to say.
I can't about tell it. You how down I am in that company. There's not even anything to say. So.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, that was bottom
glad
line.
We pulled out the stops though for an industry summit where people paid it. By the way, if you went there or if you heard about it, those are all paid appearances on stage. We did confirm that. I think that's great. Some of those people who are talking on there have no business giving advice about anything, never mind giving advice in the card market to people who are in the card market. So
are there any names you would like to name?
No.
Openly? No.
Dumpster okay. Fire. That's it. I just...
So bottom line is,
what a train.
If you're still sending stuff into BGS, be prepared to wait. Next was, and this kind of goes into another report. Basically, I don't know if you noticed, but there has been nothing official about the Fanatics deal.
Mm-hmm.
Like still legit, we've gone on a month now and had nothing come out from not only the, you know, Fanatics themselves, but nothing from the players union, nothing from the individual leagues. There has been nothing confirmed by anybody. So it's just funny because at the summit, Panini had a time where they were going to talk. They're talking a little bit about their UFC deals and things like that. They purposely took no questions afterward. They have not and apparently will not comment on anything going on with the deal. Cool. I think bottom line, it's just a little sketchy. It's not, I guess maybe it's not sketchy. It's just very interesting how they're playing this so close to the chest when everybody knows about it, unless there's something else going on. Like, I just don't understand why. Like, why not openly admit this?
The only nice thing is all the know-it-alls who have zero knowledge of this.
Oh, they know everything. They're telling us.
The speculation has quieted down some, which is nice.
Oh, yeah.
Because it was, I mean, every week.
Everybody.
So many people coming out too. Oh, they're buying upper decks. They're buying tops. Nothing's happened.
Yeah.
I know everybody wants to be first to say stuff, but no one has any. We did our one show of speculation, and that's all it'll be. I mean, I don't have any use for any more speculation about that. So,
okay. What else you got? Last point on the summit was just that there's a guy, I cannot remember his first name, Gray from Leaf Trading Cards.
Brian Gray.
Brian, I thought it was Ryan Gray. Yeah.
Ryan, he's the owner. Yeah.
So he came out, he was basically the closing speaker on the last day.
What? And
I saw this on his Twitter right before he went out there, just like, guys, be prepared. This isn't going to be like a happy news type of thing. Apparently, he just kind of like let the world know, like, listen, this is what's happening. You could be out of a job. You all made a lot of money. And, you know, he didn't put it in such a fine point, but that's essentially what he was saying is like, guys, you made a lot of money, but you got to be prepared for change. That being said, he does think like there could be opportunities here and there, but the way I read it is he's pretty much on the side of if you're a breaker, if you're a card owner, a card shop owner, just kind of be prepared that this could be the beginning of the
end. So I didn't see this in your notes. I'll be honest with you. I don't have a lot of use for Brian Gray at all. I've been in rooms with him before, in live rooms where he's come up with you know, these breaking news. He had a thing about SGC. Oh, they got a very serious offer to get sold, which was laughable. He's been very vocal about the Fanatics thing. Mark my words, they're buying up. The guy hasn't been right about any of it. They let him be the closing speaker. That's one of the main reasons I don't go to the industry summit. Nonsense like that. I'd rather stay home and watch Archie Bunker. My goodness. Give me a Seinfeld rerun.
Well, so that was kind of my closing point on this was just like, granted, he gave us all this information, but what is Leaf doing that anybody cares about right now? Like as far as like the company goes, the product that they put out,
I mean, I'm not going to bash him. Like I've said before, like for unlicensed stuff, I actually really like Leaf Trinity. I adjust your back when you're falling apart. You know, there's a couple Leaf products I like, but like to think that he or that company is like changing the game and Leaf Pearl, another good example. Great product. I have no problem saying the good things about it. But the bad is, I think you put out a lot of stuff that's absolute garbage. I mean, we've ripped a full case, as a matter of fact. Leaf Flash Football last night. You know why I ripped Leaf Flash? It's $130, and there's five autos, and we had a Trevor Lawrence, a Zach Wilson, a Justin Field. Like, cool. But, like, in general, I just don't... Again, I have no use for, like, that. I don't... He doesn't know anything that anybody else... He's not in the room with people. I don't care what he... I just...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm...
So, you're
I wasn't even going to say anything. Actually, I didn't know that's where you were going with it. But yeah, I have... And he'll tell you too, like he's come at me before in Clubhouse. We've got a yelling match there. Like, I've got sources. Good for you. Like, what have your sources done that have broken any news about Fanatics? Honestly. And I'm not bashing Leaf as a company. Leaf as a company makes, I would say, 10 times the revenue I make across all my revenue streams right now. So businessman, sure. I'm sure he is doing fantastic and I'm happy for him. I just don't need him speaking to me as some sort of authority on the hobby. And you know what? He doesn't want me to speak that way either. He doesn't like me, so... I'm okay saying it. I have no use for that guy.
Do we want to use this opportunity to bury the hatchet and you guys become
best
friends?
No, I don't like him. I think he could be a nice guy, and he has been at times, but I'm done. I don't need to keep talking about this.
So best friends. Okay,
I didn't know you were... Yeah, I had no idea. I would have prepared myself to not speak, but at least you got a little passion out of me this show. There you go. We got some other things to hit on quick. Oh, you got another... You are taking over the show. I love it.
This is based on your request. Taxes. You wanted to look into the tax thing. So, thank you.
We get a lot of questions about taxes all the time.
So the question was that, is it true that guys are starting to receive 1099s from eBay, PayPal, things like that? So based on the research I've done, if they are, they're not supposed to be, according to this. This is going to happen. It was part of the last stimulus bill. Earlier in the year when they put out like the American Rescue Plan for like $1.9 trillion and everybody got stimulus checks. That's great. Well, this was kind of hidden down in there where starting in 2022, which would mean when you file your taxes in 2023, you would be receiving 1099s for eBay,
anything
PayPal,
above
anything
$600. Right?
It used to be $20,000. Now, right. They've lowered it to 600. So.
Yeah, so PayPal used to be $20,000 in transactions. I believe it was and 200 individual transactions as goods. We don't speak a ton about tax because we're not tax professionals, clearly. Quite frankly, you could argue I'm not a professional about anything. I've been filing taxes as both a corporation, the podcast side, and that, then the content side of things, and as an LLC on the breaking and singles flipping side of things. I will tell you this. There's a few things. First of all, if you're making money in the hobby, you're going to get taxed. Like, one of the big things recently is eBay and PayPal have reached out like, hey, we need you to continue. We need your social security number, your banking information, because, yes, you're going to start getting taxed on that.
They're doing it on Venmo, too.
Yeah. And there's a couple things here that people that are just total myths. Like, for example, if I take in $10,000 in goods payments and $10,000 in friends and family or gift, I'm only going to get taxed. So, yes, your 1099 from PayPal will only include goods and service payments. However, if you were to get audited, and I've been down this road before, the IRS does not care that half your money are personal payments. If it's from the same account where you're running a business out of, you're going to get taxed on everything. So the smartest thing to do, you claim it all. Use a PayPal account. I don't care if you're taking in and sending gift and goods, both, whatever. Claim every dime you take in and write off every dime you send out as an expense. That's it. It's pretty simple. But this thought that the IRS is going to listen when you say, no, 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 this was a gift payment from, you know, jessiescards@gmail.com. That's a cute way to save 3%. You're not going to save on income tax. And by the way, this isn't a state. This was another thing. People started saying, well, I live in this state or that. This isn't state tax. This is federal income tax on capital gains. It has nothing to do with your state tax. So people always want to be slick and think of ways they're going to maneuver around it. And you know what? Most people are never going to get audited, so it probably won't matter. But that's why every year the amount we claim is way bigger than our 1099 amount, because we just claim everything that comes in. I don't want to ever be in a position where I'm going to owe and get whacked at the end of the year. So I am glad you looked into that.
I'll throw this about taxes just because I used to know a little bit about this. And this is the biggest, like, I guess, myth or
misnomer.
Misnomer. Yeah, that's yes. Perfect, Mike. Yes.
Feels
the biggest
good.
Misnomer that I felt back. Many guys, including, oh, this is sad, many financial advisors did not seem to realize is that on your income tax, when you enter a new tax bracket, that doesn't mean all of your income is taxed at that amount. It's a sliding scale, a prorated, if you will. So if you enter into a new tax bracket because you claimed some additional income from like a side hustle or something like that, that doesn't mean every cent up until that point is now taxed at that higher rate. It's just anything once you got to that point and over would be taxed at that higher rate. So just okay. Something to keep in mind, you could enter a new tax bracket. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to have a huge tax liability right afterward. So there cool. You go.
A couple quick hits and with the mailbag. We made a dibs post yesterday on Instagram and people kind of jumped down our throats. We were pretty vocal. When dibs first started, I thought the valuations were laughable and I hated everything about them. Their valuations are now based on card ladder comps. That's the reason we promoted the post. They're not a sponsor. We're not being paid by them. I thought the Josh Allens were a good buy. I think Josh Allen's a pretty good buy in general right now. I've picked up some Prism 10s myself. That's why we made a dibs post. Pretty simple. You want us to be more transparent? Whatever. There you go. If they release cards fractionally for less than the cards are selling for based on card ladder comps, I don't think it's a bad deal. If they go back to their valuations being out of whack, I'll go back to blasting them. But this was an example where I thought they actually did a good thing. It was a cool release and good timing. Pretty simple. I don't know if people want to jump down our throats on media. Happy to talk about it anytime. Granted, we never get taken up on those offers to speak to people when we disagree. Happened with three specific people this week.
Oh boy.
Same offer to everybody. You ever want to talk? We'll hop live on Instagram. We'll have a very reasonable conversation.
Guys, do me a favor. Just don't start any beef because I hate to, like, no, I'm on pins and needles. I just, like, every time you go live to, like, squash beef, I'm just like, oh God, what's he going to say? Which, to give you credit, you handle yourself very well most of the time. It's just, I don't want to be concerned about it. So, guys, let's all be friends.
I got called onto the InvestiCard live thing this week.
What happened to that?
I was just watching the video and got invited up, which was fine. I think that whole business model, I told the guy this, is a total sham. Renting margin 15% interest, I cannot stand that model. But you know what he did? He at least was respectful and very clear in his presentation of it. I don't like the product, but I was like, you know what? At least it's clearly explained. If you know what you're getting into. So I wouldn't use it, but I at least had a decent conversation. But my point is, I don't agree with the guy. I had a decent conversation with him about it, so...
There you go.
I would rather do that than like this posting back and forth. I find that to be very useless. I'd rather just talk.
Did you have anything else before new?
I have one other thing. I'm pumping the website every show now because we are getting, it just seems like the amount of people coming to the groups, the followers, it's growing more so than in the past. And we get a ton of the exact same questions, which is why we don't address them on Mailbag. How do I sell my cards? How do I grade my cards? Where do I buy supplies? You know, we need card shops. What's a good breaker? Sportscardsnonsense.com is our website. It's way too long. We didn't think of it when we made the thing. It's my fault. I'm just kidding. Go to the website, go to card services. We have a number of paid sponsors. Everybody on that website is paying us. There's no secret about that because they're all people I know personally. I recommend and I use their services. So I tell everybody to go on there. We also have a newsletter on there under Hobby News that addresses more in-depth hobby stuff. But that's why, like, if you ask those questions, we don't really talk about them on here. But if you need consignment help, again, grading, whatever you need, just go to the website and check out card services. That's why it's there.
Besides that point as well, there is also a segment on there for FAQs.
We've got some videos on there.
I recently updated it too, to where it's a little more user-friendly. But basically there is now a glossary. We'll continue to add more terms to it. So if you guys have questions on those.
Yep.
But then also just basic questions, including why is Mike so mean to Jesse? That's on there if you're wondering to know. So all of these things, you can go to the website, get information firsthand.
Why does Jesse own 49% of this company? He doesn't really contribute. I mean, some have asked that. You're a great guy. Look at that face. How could you not love that guy? Just pouring over with gout and he's still just here doing a great job.
I refuse to say anything.
Didn't laugh at the gout joke.
I refuse to say anything.
I think you're doing great.
You're mean.
That's not true. That's why we have the website though. And that's why Jesse updates that. He runs that whole side of things because we get the same question. Just go there. Very simple. And sign up for the newsletter. We're going to be doing giveaways based on the subscription email list on that newsletter. We just started last week. Comes out once a week. It's free. You can win some free crap and you get some cool information. So there you go. Done with the plugs and the pitching and all the garbage.
Mailbag.
There you go. It'd be funny if we just ended right there. Mailbag, done.
Mailbag comes to us from the Facebook.
Sure.
This is the first time we've reached out to that group.
Yep.
Facebook says.
Never heard of the app.
I'm not going to start with that question. Andrew Kahn wants to know, Mike said he would stay away from retail boxes and focus on hobby. Do you get the prices for hobby just on eBay or other reseller sites? Where are you getting that hobby?
Oh, like when we talk pricing on the show, I generally use Blowout, Steel City, David Adams. Those are the big three. I do not mess with hobby on eBay. There's just too many products that have a case hit or something. So I don't like to buy loose hobby boxes on eBay. So I buy mine from distributor, but I base the pricing off the three big retailers.
But on the occasion where you do buy boxes, like this week, you were looking for some contenders and stuff.
I went back to distro.
You did?
Okay. Oh, no. I'm sorry. I bought contenders from a guy. Yeah, from John.
Yeah.
I'll buy from individuals I know, but that's sealed cases. Sealed cases are a little different. Individual boxes, I just stay away from for the most part.
Okay. So this kind of goes back to the topic of Leaf and their cards to some degree, but this is more focused on Panini. So Anthony Poindexter had a question.
It's a great name. My first question. How's that last name?
How's that pocket protector doing? When does it make sense to grade unlicensed products, i.e. Panini baseball? Jason Peck followed this up with another question. Does non-licensed Prism baseball wax have any long-term value? So basically, what's the deal with value as far as non-licensed stuff goes?
Yeah, it's lower valued, but there's still value. We pulled a Trevor Lawrence out of Leaf Flash yesterday. I'm going to talk on this for a minute. Do me a favor. Go to eBay and find Leaf Flash Trevor Lawrence Auto. This one was numbered to 10. I want to know what these things have sold for. You know, you think of like Panini baseball, though. Flawless RPAs, National Treasures patch autos. I mean, all those big stars. There's money if you can grade them and they're going to grade out well. Yeah, there's money. Now, if it's a tops, if it was, for example, a Ronald Acuna National Treasures patch auto might do $500. Well, if that's the same card out of, you know, a tops brand dynasty, it's going to do way more. But yeah, there's still value there. It just depends. Where are you going to grade it and how much is it going to cost you to grade? Is it worth it? There's definitely value there, though. Do you have any sold Trevor Lawrence?
Yeah, so there's... there's just several variations of it.
Just so give me some basic. Yeah, just give me some numbers. Just out of
curiosity. So the navy blue what's version number of this out of 75. This is the second one out of 75 specifically. This card sold last week for $200.
Okay, so give me some other pricing real quick. Give me like three more. Real fast.
So another one of these, it looks like maybe just like a your standard one. There's no color on it. $125.
Okay.
A couple days before that. 2 days before that, there was a purple version of this card sold for a little over $200.
What's that number two?
That is out of 50.
Okay. So the one yesterday, for example, Trevor Lawrence auto numbered to 10. That's probably a $300 card. If you grade that out into gems, it's probably $450 to $600. It's worth it. Now, granted, Panini Trevor Lawrence autos are going to be worth thousands. You're going to pay way more to get into them. There's money in unlicensed. It's just on a smaller scale. You pay less to get it. It sells for less, but it's still there's still good value there for sure. Like that. Okay. A matter of fact, that Trevor Lawrence card and the Trey Lance are both going to the grader today. We're sending them off to Walk Off. The guy was like, "Hey, just ship them right to." I broke for him. We're shipping them right to Nick Piper at Walk Off Submissions. He's going to grade them both for the guy. Smart play. You can still make money doing it. No question.
Okay, so when it comes to Panini Baseball, you would say the same thing.
Same thing, yeah.
There's some hits in there. Okay.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, Panini Baseball obviously sells a lot higher than Leaf, you know, than Leaf Baseball. I mean, Panini, not licensed, but Panini's a much bigger company. They make a lot of the better higher-end products. So but yes, value in both.
So I'm not sure if this is like a thing, but Cody Rowrig wants to know, what's your opinion of including hobby case hits in $20 retail blasters with the insane current prices of hobby boxes cases? I don't know how you do that.
Oh, so in other words, like Donruss Downtown or like one per hobby case.
Uh-huh.
Should they? I don't know if you can get those out of retail. I'm not sure if those are hobby exclusive or not. If I like when they keep the major case hits to hobby. I do.
Gotcha.
I just think otherwise you start to water things down. But I'm not sure if those are even available. That's just one example. I'm sure, though, there are some case hits that are probably available. I mean, I really don't know the cross between hobby and retail as far as what hits are available.
Would you still say that if you didn't have a breaking business and had access to hobby, though, do you think?
Yeah, because it still waters down the product in general. Like, I like the fact that retail doesn't have the big hits that hobby has because it keeps the price point way down. So yeah, I'm not going to be able to get as many big hits, but the guys who chase hobby for the higher end have a better shot at hitting higher end hits, and they're not watered down because they're hobby exclusive. I like that, and regardless, I don't need there to be downtowns in every product under the sun and have it get watered down or kabooms or anything else.
Yeah.
Follow up to that though, that's why I would love it if Panini would take one or two good brands and make them literally no hobby at all. If you told me Select Football and Basketball were retail only, but they were going to produce the absolute crap out of them, make 80 million of them, I would love that. It would bring the values on the single side way down, but who cares? You're paying $20 for a blaster. I would love to see them do that. They never will, but I would love to see that.
Wouldn't that be like a real junk wax situation though?
Yeah, but junk wax, if only for one of two of those SKUs, then you take out this whole scenario where, hey, my kid can't go to Walmart and Target and get product. Now we can go there and get decent product every single time he's there. Granted, he's not going to pull a $2,000 hit because the case hit is only going to be worth $200 because there's so many, but I don't care. That's how you feed that side of the market without watering down the overall industry and the hobby side of it. I think that would be great, but I just don't think we'll ever see that.
So we put up a YouTube video yesterday of a what we're calling Kids Corner.
Okay.
So Kids Corner is basically just something where we can involve kids in this hobby more so than what we do now, because you know, there's not really a lot of like
not
pure fun and collecting from the kids' side point of view. However, that being said, as I'm editing this video and putting it up, I'm watching it, and while Matthew's very excited and he's pumped about getting like certain players and stuff, the overall question at the end is like, okay, what's the value of these cards?
Oh, he killed it.
So well, that he did. I mean, he got that Vlad, which was awesome. But my point is, do kids who are collecting, do you think they're not taking into consideration the value of these cards as one of the reasons why they want to collect? I mean, my 7-year-old wants to like make pictures and sell them online. Like, she knows we live in a day and age where everybody from a young age is like, oh, how could I make some money on this? Whether or not they actually know real value or not. But my point is, do these kids who are getting into the hobby, do you think they're not in it because they think they can make some money? Because I kind of think that may be one of the reasons. And therefore, if it is the case, would that solve the problem of getting all this like junk wax in there? Because they may not care about it either.
Yeah, yeah, I see what you're saying. But yeah, so yes and no. If it's a 10-year-old, yeah, he wants to be able to flip and make a buck. But to a 10-year-old, it's like, I paid 20 for the box and I resold for 30. It's a smaller snowball, but same effect. But like, I'm not talking about 15-year-olds. 15-year-olds in this hobby have, some of them have $20,000 collections or more already. So yes and no, but that's why I'm saying if you did just that one small thing that then empowers this, you know, the dads to go buy one or two boxes for their kids and spend $40 instead of hundreds, because that does price a lot of people out. I'm not saying that's for everybody, but if you're to the point too where you're really chasing the value and turning and burning and flipping for a profit, you're probably into the hobby anyways already, and you can, there are hobby stuff you can get because you probably have enough skin in the game to do that. You probably have some capital at least, or some cards where you can sell them and get what you want. So yeah, it's not for everybody, but I do think that feeds a ton of kids who are just in it for the hobby.
Yeah.
And opens that back up. That's what, but I'm also not saying do this every week with every product. Take one or two a year and just continue to print them throughout the year.
I got you. Yeah. Okay. Brandon McGuffin. Actually, this is a perfect segue. Sure. Didn't plan this.
What's your favorite pizza?
Are we in the new junk era?
Nope. We have way more new collectors. Production is up, but supply is still way less than demand. No.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. You can tell just by prices. Okay. Michael Martinez. What does Panini completely ignoring the Fanatic situation at the industry mean to you?
To me, I just think it means Fanatic still has not decided what they're going to do. Yep. That's my take on it. I don't think they've made a definitive decision what's going to happen.
Well, the fact that Topps has also been very silent on it, granted they've had their CEO or Michael Eisner, whoever owns them, came out saying we didn't see this coming, things like that. I think that's as much detail as we've gotten from either of these guys. It does make me wonder if there's, maybe any additional deals being made in the background just to kind of keep these guys afloat, for other products that maybe other deals they could do with Fanatic. So,
yep. Yeah, they could very well be licensing deals.
Yeah, you don't want to be talking bad about the new big honcho in town and when you may need them for business in the future. So,
yeah. And again, you could be right. Maybe that's why, because there's going to be something down the pipeline. I just, in my mind, they didn't say anything because there's nothing to say yet. They don't know either.
That could be true. Jan Colbert Ng, what's your take on Panini Instant One of Ones? Worth looking into or skip totally?
I don't know what these are.
Yeah, I didn't. Okay, I was wondering if it was an NFT or something like that. I wonder if
it's one of these the Topps Now thing where they just print them on demand after something happens. You want to look it up real quick?
Oh, I'm way ahead of you, buddy.
Look at this guy.
Panini Instant On Demand Trading Cards. So it looks like some kind of digital.
Oh, yeah, it's digital. I don't care. Yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't care. I'm not an NFT guy. It's not appealing to me. It doesn't mean it's not a successful space. I just have nothing useful to say about it.
Okay.
I think that's fair. Yeah, I think it'll do good. I don't care. If it crashes tomorrow, fine. If it does unbelievable tomorrow, fantastic. If people like it, I hope it does well. Because I like to be positive. I've always said that.
You are. You're really nice.
How dare you?
You are actually really nice. Justin Durant.
Aww.
Well, I know. With Pace being the devil, which is very funny. Did you see this comment? Is that why you called that segment the devil?
Segment? I think actually.
All right. So with base being the devil and wax prices still being high, do you think there's much of a reason to open boxes right now or just find the singles you want and collect or invest them?
I think there's a play for both. Yeah. I don't know. I'm skeptical about investing on the base side of things still. Here's what's tough too. More than just the base is the devil, grading has become more difficult to do. So it's not a matter of just opening a box, handing it a big hit, but I can grade these 7 cards and do well. So I do think there's been a connection. And somebody else commented about this too. Von Bailey, who was a huge customer of mine for years and just a good guy, good dude in the hobby. He said the same thing. Hey, base taking such a hit, grading being slow, it's prevented me from getting into box breaking more because it used to be I knew there were certain avenues to pump out and make money. Those have been taken away. So right now I'm more into the single side of things. Doesn't help my business as a breaker to say that, but that's kind of where I'm at. But I, that could change. I mean, base, I think there's still value there. I just don't think there's as much value, and that's why we've seen some of a drop in some of these things for sure.
Okay. Mike Wint wants to know, assuming all other factors are the same, at what point would you rather have a numbered stickered auto over an on-card auto that's not numbered?
For me personally, I mean, one of my biggest auto cards, because most of my big cards are not autographs, like value-wise, the Jordan Garnett LeBron triple auto is a sticker auto. The card looks nice. I don't care that it's a sticker auto. I'm more into the eye appeal and the aesthetics. Yes, I would prefer on card to sticker any day of the week, but if there's an on card auto that's, you know, mass produced to 2,500 or a sticker auto that's to 10 and it looks good, I'm taking the sticker auto. Like, I'd rather have a card that's limited. Yes, it's a sticker, but again, if it looks good, I've got the triple auto behind me. I'm showing it like you can see. The Tom Brady, John Elway, Peyton Manning from Triple Threads. Those are sticker autos, but they have the holographic of the team logo behind them. I don't actually care that's a sticker auto. I think it looks good. And it's numbered to 9, so I like it even better. So I prefer limited print run if it looks if it has good eye appeal to an overproduced just base auto that's on card.
To clarify that point, though, when you say you prefer that, are you saying, though, the value, like intrinsic value of those cards would be about the same or more in that situation? Is that why you prefer them, or just from your own personal, like a PC collector?
From a preference standpoint, yes. But like, so if this card behind me was Elway, Brady, and Manning, number to 9, same exact card, on card, is it worth more? I guess. You know, but how much more? I don't know how you quantify that. I'm not really sure. Jesse is chugging a literal gallon of water right now. Is that that's for the gout, isn't it?
You got to flush it out. That's the only thing I've found helps you flush it out.
Plus, starting next week, if he's feeling better, maybe the week after, three times a week, I'll be driving to his house. We're taking a 20-minute walk 3 days a week.
You know, I was reading something about this really big bodybuilder, and that's what he's been huge, muscular. But now he just lost a ton of weight. And he said the one thing he attributes it to, a mile walk every morning. Boom, bam.
I'm in. I've told you I will drive to your house. I'm in.
And I said yes.
Yep. I might bring the dogs. I might not bring. Hey,
do you remember when I had the gym in the garage and then you got mad at me because the one time I said I didn't want to work out.
Wasn't
once. And then you legit took all of the gym equipment without me knowing.
I took the time to load up all my personal stuff over there, set up a whole gym.
Yep.
And twice in 1 week, Jesse, this was years ago, but that's fine. Twice in 1 week, he blew me off. So the second time, I just went over very quietly, opened the garage door myself, loaded it up and left. Jesse didn't speak to me for like a week.
To be fair, I didn't say he could. Like, I just said open door.
I was not doing that for you. I wasn't doing it for me. He I was doing that the, for you.
No, you said you wanted it for yourself because you didn't have a gym. You didn't have a spot for the gym.
It's called a lie. I had a gym membership. I'm doing it to help you. So. Here's my favorite question, by the way.
Go ahead.
Ari Klein. We're going to get this back to a light moment because you're trying to set me up today.
I'm not kidding.
Why has Jesse not made pre-recorded intros to all the segments of the show? Maybe add some music in there.
I mean,
Ronnie, can we get I don't want pre-recorded, but can we get some music when he says something dumb? Can we get some sound effects?
Sure.
Just like a boing or like
anything but that.
Like or that.
If you guys have any ideas, you can send them over.
Okay. Hey, I do have a real question too, Ronick. I forget the dude's name. Man, he was the last film producer we had.
Bobby.
I don't know. Anyways, when he put the show up, it was broken down like
segments.
Explain this, Jesse. I can't say this correctly.
The timestamps.
Is
that an option? Can we do that?
Sure, yeah. Of course.
I mean, I know that's
is this gonna
a
slow this
extra
thing
work,
down but... like hours or what do we be straight with me?
No, it won't slow it down by hours. No.
It will
Are
slow
you
it
willing
down.
To do this? Are you willing to commit to this right
course,
here and now?
Yeah, of course.
I love that. And that is one thing we get asked a lot of times. The time
While
steps.
We're talking about it, can I take your picture and then post it for okay.
this? No, you may not. Okay. You may not.
Ronick, he will not ask you that again if we get timestamps. There you go.
That's Perfect. Fair. That's a fair.
Awesome. Thank you, Ronick. We do All get right. asked that a lot. I like it. Give me a couple more and we're done. I don't want to be here anymore.
I got one more for you.
I want two more.
You can have one and you'll like it.
Taking my weights and I'm going home.
He was trying to help, to be fair, guys. He was trying to help. He was being nice. Ilya Fishman, Vlad, is getting a ton of Main Street hype right now. Does it make sense to sell him now that his hype is up? Or do you wait for the playoffs and maybe his eventual MVP win?
Yes, I think you have to wait for the playoffs because not only is he getting hype, that is the best team in baseball right now. They are rolling. They just swept the Yanks. I think they took 2 out of 3 from the Rays. And they're in the toughest division of baseball. I just think you hold Vlad until at least the playoffs. You know what? Here is the last question. Total, okay. For real, because this is a subject I did want to talk about. Probstein, who is a major consigner.
I avoided this question on purpose. All right, go.
Do you have an article that actually has what this guy... Can you Google that?
I just saw that the guy was like, he went to jail for like 20 months or something.
Yeah, for fraud, trimming cards. So, Ian Babcock, can you give some background on Bill Maestro and why his Probstein interview was a big deal? Yeah, so, and again, details are shady. Google it yourself. Probstein is one of the biggest sellers on eBay. Consignment. I've never been a fan of the service. I've used it a few times as a buyer and a seller. I like it as a buyer. I've not been a fan as a seller. I just tell you right now, I end up waiting on cash. Stuff got relisted. I wasn't super happy with the overall service. Whatever. That's just a personal thing. Plenty of guys like it. I'm not going to knock him. However, he did go live on Instagram yesterday with Bill Maestro. The heading was a hobby legend. Okay, first of all, the guy spent 20 months in jail for fraud and card trimming. And he was talking about now like, hey, he's paid his dues. We should welcome him back. I'm sorry. I don't know what the point of this was. I don't know if Rick is somehow tied to this guy. I don't know why you would want your business associated with this Maestro character in any way, shape, or form. I just thought it was a stupid look. There was zero hard-hitting questions asked. It was all just about like his take on the hobby and this. I don't want his take. First question, are you still a fraudulent clown? That should have been the first question. What have you done to change so we should actually trust you again? Yep. But of course, people are terrified to ask hard-hitting questions in interviews. This was like a guy pumping up his buddy when your buddy's a criminal. I don't know why this was, and it got a ton of attention in the hobby. This is the type of stuff I despise. Why are we pumping up a guy, not with a question, there's not a questionable character here. It's a guy who went to prison for this. What are we doing? I just don't, Rick has a huge platform, major seller, and you're telling everybody that this is a hobby legend we should trust again. I just, there's no objectivity there. It makes me question his actions in general now. I'll tell you right now, and I'm petty, so most people don't have this visceral reaction like I do. I just would never use his service again. I mean that. Oh. That's a vast overreaction, because I like to do that anyways. I wouldn't. You want to roll with people like this who have defrauded people in the hobby? Cool. I won't buy a sell with you ever again. And I'm not saying other people should follow suit, because I don't care what other people do. I'm out on them. Totally.
It looks like the general there. Look, so it's funny enough that another Instagram account, which I still don't want to use their name just because past incidents, they posted the interview on their YouTube page just today. And the general consensus from comments is essentially exactly how you feel. So,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, what are we doing? I know the hobby has a short-term memory, but this is, yeah, I just think it was a laughable interview. No reason for it. So
on that note, let's go to Gatlinburg.
All right. There you go. So sports cars, nonsense. Do you have anything else, by the way? Is that it? We have anything big coming up? We will have a guest next week, by the way. I talked to a couple people. We will have a guest, one of the shows next week.
You think he's got a response?
Gary's welcome to come on. I'd like to get Gary's. Yeah, I actually wouldn't mind that anytime. Cool. He's busy. I mean, I don't think that's realistic. Busy man. But
yeah.
I mean, allegedly. It's fine. He's welcome to come back anytime. Draw. Okay. I'll make a painting for him. It'd be great. a digital painting.
I've never seen you paint a single thing or draw a single thing. I don't even think I've seen you use your hands to write something. I'd like to see that.
No arms and no legs is basically how you exist now. Yes, so we'll be back Monday. This is Sports Cars Nonsense brought to you by The Ringer. Ronick said, don't we have a guest next Monday? Who do we have next Monday, Ronick?
I think it was Alan from Collectible. I had to send him an email.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Alan's had us on a few times. Cool. All right. So yeah, that's the only new thing with us. We're still pumping is that newsletter. We're trying to get a big following there. Gonna have some different segments. And the whole Kids Corner thing, I am curious. I'm gonna try to work with some people. We're starting with people I know, obviously. I'm not gonna reach out to random parents, but just like sending them boxes. Okay, if your kid's into the hobby and interested, we're gonna send you a box. Probably gonna pay for it, but I'll give you a really good deal. Because it's more just about like, hey, the video with Matt's pretty cool. Dude rips a case, hits like the card he won. It was awesome. It's not going to happen every time. It's going to be a lot of disappointment. However, I think it'd be cool to kind of see that genuine reaction. Like kids get into the hobby again, doing some ripping. So those are kind of our two new pet projects we're trying to get moving on. So
I will say this is the only video where someone's ripping open a card box and they get super excited and they don't yell, let's go. I'm so over that.
Breakers are such idiots.
New all phrase. Right.
Anyways, there you go. Brought to you by the Ringer Podcast Network, powered by Spotify. Listen to it anywhere you get your podcasts. However you're listening to this right now, just keep doing that.
Just do what you're doing. You're doing great.
We'll be back Monday. See you later.